want you to turn to two portions of Scripture this morning, and we'll get into the Word. First, I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts chapter 1, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When you're at 1 Corinthians 15, put your marker there. And we're going to read in Acts chapter 1 first, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 15. Acts chapter 1 verse 1 says this, and this is Luke writing to Theophilus, and it says this: "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he presented himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, appearing to them for 40 days and speaking concerning the kingdom of God." Read verse 3 one more time. It says, "To whom he presented himself alive." I want you to say alive. "After his passion by many infallible proofs, appearing to them for 40 days and speaking concerning the kingdom of God." Now turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1, and it says this: "Now, brothers, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you have received, in which you stand. Through it you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. Then he was seen by over 500 brothers at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present time, though some have passed away. Then he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born at the wrong time. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed." And I want to preach with you just a few minutes this morning that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help me to relay your word to this people today, a way that will be understandable and a way that cannot be denied. And I pray that most of all that we would remember that today is Jesus, it's all about him. We celebrate Easter in remembrance of Jesus rising from the dead. And so I pray that, Lord, the Easter bunny and the eggs and the candy won't shroud over the truth. I pray that Jesus would be the reason why we celebrate today. And so we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. It is our responsibility as the church to present and to preach the gospel. It is no one else's responsibility. There is no one else that will do the proclamation of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, except you and me. Angels won't do it. Principalities and powers won't do it. Jesus proclaims the good news through his body, which is you and me. And the gospel message, the good news of the gospel, is the fact that Jesus came into this world. He died for your and my sin. And he rose again from the dead 3 days, 3 days later, and ever lives to intercede on our behalf. The Apostle Paul begins to bear out in this chapter, which is known to be the resurrection chapter of the Bible, the truth of the resurrection of Christ. And he lays great stress on this truth because even then, false teaching was beginning to encroach, was beginning to come into the church. Some were saying that there is no resurrection. There is no such thing as a resurrection to happen. And so Paul would begin to reiterate the fact of the gospel and the fact of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus to show that our faith doesn't rest upon stories or fables, but it rests upon the truth that can be proven beyond the shadow of a doubt. We started our sermon today by reading from the book of Acts chapter 1. And Acts chapter 1 verse 3 states unequivocally, clearly, that Jesus made himself known to those that were then alive with infallible proofs. That means that there was proof that he was alive. It wasn't just the disciples making a story up and making a declaration that Jesus was alive. But there were infallible proofs of his resurrection. And because of those infallible proofs, you and I are resting upon the truth of the resurrection even today. Without the resurrection, there is no cross. Without the resurrection, there is not salvation for humanity. Without the resurrection, everything that Jesus both did and spoke means nothing to you and me. For that would mean that Jesus is still in the grave. But Jesus is alive, and there is an empty tomb. One of the greatest proofs of his resurrection is that empty tomb. It is empty even today. And there is even a story that came up from among the religious leaders of the day that they paid money to some, to those Roman soldiers that were told and paid as soldiers to set a watch about the tomb that night. Those Roman soldiers put a watch, and there was a signet ring. They would wrap that stone that they rolled over the tomb. They would put a string around it, and they would put that rubber paste and put a signet ring to testify it has been sealed by the power of Rome. Those Roman guards were given the responsibility to watch over that tomb. And that signet ring and that seal on the tomb was not to be broken except by Rome itself. For you see, the religious leaders of the day had heard Jesus and his declaration that he would rise from the dead. And lest everything that Jesus said would become worse and more detrimental to their religion, they said, we've got to set a seal on that tomb. And so they talked to the Roman leaders. They set a seal upon that tomb. But early in the morning, an earthquake took place as an angel of the Lord opened that tomb in the sight of those Roman officials. Jesus came out of that grave alive, and those that were there could not deny it. And then Jesus began to make himself known to his followers. He made himself known with infallible proofs for 40 days. As we discussed earlier in our Sunday school lesson, Jesus made himself known to his disciples, Mary Magdalene being the first to proclaim the resurrection. Mary would proclaim that truth, and her testimony resides in the Word of God even to this day. Even though being a second-class citizen, as we talked about earlier, the fact is that the Scripture keeps her testimony because it was true. And it will forever show that Jesus is alive and he is well. You see, you as a believer are putting your faith in the reality of the truth, not the figment of someone's imagination. And if Jesus truly is alive, as we believe that he is, and know that he is, I should say, that means that every person will one day bow and bend their knee to Jesus Christ. Everyone will one day bow their knee before him and call him Lord. Even the skeptic of today will one day humble themselves before him and say, he is Lord God Almighty. Jesus and the resurrection and the fact of his resurrection goes to show that humanity needs a Savior. If humanity was okay, Jesus would have never had to come. But Jesus did come. This is a fact of history. And Jesus came to live a life that you and I could not live so that we could be justified by faith in what Jesus did and that alone. There is no way to be pleasing to God the Father except by receiving the righteousness of His Son. No other way. And because Jesus is alive, that means that there is a Savior and that the world needs saving. And because He is alive and the world needs to be saved, that shows that it doesn't matter what we believe about Easter or not, that one day we will be accountable to God for that very truth of Jesus. Amen. What have you done with Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Is He your Lord and your Savior? Is He someone you know about, you've heard about, but you have never come into fellowship with? If you have not, it will be your decision about Jesus that will determine your existence in the future. So because He's alive is a declaration, it's a statement for all time and eternity that we need salvation, and salvation has been provided through Jesus Christ and Him alone. The Apostle Paul, in dealing with the resurrection and the false teaching that was beginning to circulate there in Corinth, began to deal with the teaching of the resurrection. And he began to show first the doctrine of the gospel, the teaching of the Word of God. Many call these first 8 verses in 1 Corinthians 15 a kind of creed. An early church creed, a declaration of what the early church believed in bullet form. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. Amen? You all have heard the Apostles' Creed before. How many of you heard the creed before? I believe in the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son. Amen? You've all heard it? And in the Holy Ghost, so on and so forth, with more words. This was a creed that Paul is declaring. He says that I have delivered to you, first of all, in verse 3 of chapter 15 of Corinthians, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. It was not made up stuff. This is the Word of God. Was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and then was seen by Cephas, by the 12. And he was even seen by 500 people at once. What do you all think about that? Amen. Paul is saying to those doubters of the resurrection, listen to me. Ask Cephas about this. Talk to Peter about this. If it's not true, ask him about what happened. Amen. Mm-hmm. He was seen by the 12. You can ask any of the 12 apostles. And not only that, there were 500 others that are alive and well right now. If you don't believe it, go and ask them. They saw Him. Alive. He was also seen of James. That was his half-brother, the writer of the Epistle of James in your New Testament. He was seen by him. James was an unbeliever before the resurrection. He thought Jesus had lost it. His brothers didn't believe in Jesus initially. But Jesus appeared to him, and James would become the pastor of the Jerusalem church, having such a belief in Jesus and the resurrection. And then he says, last of all, he was even seen by me as someone born out of due time. I've seen him, Paul is declaring. He's alive. But then he says in verse 12, now if Christ has preached that He rose from the dead, how come some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not risen. And if Christ has not risen, then our preaching is in vain. And your faith is also vain. Yes. And we would be found false witnesses of God because we have testified that God raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not raised, your faith is in vain. You are still in your sins. And they also which have fallen asleep or have died in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of most men most miserable. Paul is dealing with an issue. The very foundation of your and my faith is based on the resurrection. If he is not alive, then we are still in our sin. But verse 20 says this, but now is Christ raised from the dead. He is alive. Christ is alive. Amen. And has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's the resurrection. Without Jesus and the resurrection, there is no hope for humanity. But I am so glad to say there is an empty tomb. Amen. I am so glad to proclaim the fact that Jesus is alive. And that there were infallible proofs of his resurrection. Amen? First being an empty tomb. It is not full. There is not a body there. It is empty. Amen? The witness of the women and its inclusion in the scripture, despite the fact that there is no validity to what they say in that day, proves that their testimony was true. Jesus' apostles, who had lost their strength and their grace, their ability to serve God in a way after Jesus died, were renewed in faith when they saw Jesus. And they lived their lives. Every one of the apostles died for their faith in Jesus Christ and the resurrection. The only one that did not die a martyr's death was John the apostle. But he died of old age proclaiming that truth until he died. He was so old toward the close of his life that they would carry him from meeting place to meeting place. They didn't have good wheelchairs like we have nowadays. They would carry him from the meeting place to meeting place because he would proclaim the truth of Jesus because of his love. James's life was changed. He became the pastor of the church. 500 eyewitnesses saw him, where any one of these in this day could have asked them about it and what they saw. Even the conversion of the apostle Paul is a testimony to the resurrection of Christ. As I was saying earlier in the Sunday school class, Paul was at one time a persecutor of the church. This is for those that weren't there. And yet Paul, when he was confronted face to face with Jesus on the way to Damascus, was so changed by that encounter with Jesus that he became a proclaimer of the gospel and lived his life and became a writer of over half of the New Testament and ultimately suffered a martyr's death for the gospel as well. An unbeliever, someone that attacked the church and belief in the resurrection, became a believer because he saw Jesus. The fact that they lived their lives and gave their lives for it is proof itself that Jesus is alive. Let me say this. The fact that there is a church here in Center Assembly of God and the proclamation of the resurrection is still being proclaimed is proof he's alive. Amen. Jesus is alive. Amen. And that is why we celebrate Easter. Can you say amen? Amen? This is Easter Sunday. This is about salvation. It's about Jesus coming into this world for you and for me and him dying on the cross to take away all of our sin, to make us acceptable in the sight of God Almighty so that we could be brought into right relationship with him. The fact that he came out of that grave shows that he took care of every person's sin and sinfulness. And he's made a way for every man and every woman to be righteous in the sight of God, and all of that by faith in what he did for us. No resurrection, that would have never been true. But because there is a resurrection, that means there's salvation for one and all. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm here to tell you that Jesus died on the cross for you. And when he rose again from the dead, it was proof that he paid the penalty for all of your sin on the cross. All you have to do is receive that salvation by faith. That's all you have to do. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to read the Bible for it. You don't have to get water baptized for it. All you have to do is receive the gift of salvation totally and completely by faith. And he accepts you just as you are. Amen? That's all it takes. We get baptized in water because we're already saved. We don't get baptized to be saved. Amen? He did it all for you, and he loves you. Amen? Let's stand.